Christy Gutowski's in our studio, reporter for the Chicago Tribune. She wrote about the A.J. Friend story that perhaps you saw in Sunday's paper. Part two will appear this weekend in next Sunday's paper. And it was just heartbreaking story for us all to follow. And her writing about it is comprehensive and so well done, which is almost beside the point. It's just an awful story. Christy, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me, John.
I sure appreciate you joining us. Tell me about your decision to go back to this story and why now.
I've been a reporter in the Chicago area since the early 90s, and I don't know if you remember the case of Joseph Wallace. It was another prominent Illinois Department of Children and Family Services mess up where they just missed a lot of warning signs, and the child unfortunately died of fatal abuse. And at the time, that case just really, you know, I said to myself, I want to do this with my life. I want to tell these children's stories.
And that story inspired you as a reporter, or were you a reporter at the time?
I was in college and,
getting
my master's and studying journalism, and I just never really forgot about him. And I've told DCFS stories like many reporters through the years, and unfortunately many tragic, you know, child deaths. But this one, more than 5,000 people estimated went to his memorial service, and an entire community came out for 6 days when his parents reported him missing, looking for him. And I just thought, you know, this case is resonating with people, and I wanted to, you know, dive into it and learn more who these people were and more about this little boy.
Do the headline for me on this. What happened?
It's really tragic and really dark, but luckily people seem to really care and want to know every little detail. So AJ was 5, lived in Crystal Lake. He was born around Halloween 2013 with heroin pumping through his veins. So DCFS took the child away from his parents and put him in protective custody.
Taken from his mother's arms and given morphine and then to protective custody.
Correct. He was in the ICU fighting for his life for a month. And then a cousin of the mother took him in, and she wanted to adopt him. She didn't have children of her own, and she kept him safe and helped him grow into a healthy little boy until 20 months.
And you write that he was developing sort of on cue, wasn't he? Despite his being born addicted, he seemed to be able to get weaned off the drugs and was hitting his milestones, right?
Correct. We were able to access some confidential records that really painted the picture of the first, you know, days, months, and years of his life. And he was, by all accounts, healthy, intelligent, inquisitive.
The mother, so she loses custody of the child, at least temporarily. Eventually, she regains custody. But she had already lost custody of another child, right?
She did. That was through a civil process, a private process. DCFS wasn't involved. Her own mother fought her to gain custody of the oldest child, who at the time was about 12. He's 19 now.
He's in college now, right?
He is, and he's the silver lining of this whole story. He's doing great.
Yeah, you referenced him late in your story, and I thought, oh, yeah, right. How's he doing? He's in college. I was hopeful that there's a silver lining, as you say. Can you tell me anything about him, just as a quick aside here?
Sure. So he was much older than AJ, obviously. That's one of the things that bothers the grandmother in the stories. A lot of people think she left AJ and just took him, which is not the case. He was, he was born in July of 2000. So by the time AJ was born, he was already 13. And the grandmother had gotten him out of the house by then. And, you know, there was visitations with AJ when he was born. But then there was a falling out with AJ's mom. So there wasn't much contact in the last 2 years. But, you know, she performed one miracle in saving the oldest son, but unfortunately couldn't save the younger grandchild.
Eventually, AJ is reunited with his mother and his father, who was an attorney but had lost his license. They were both addicts, right?
Correct. They were both addicts. And what's really interesting about the story is they began, their beginnings were so different than where they ended up. He was, you know, voted most desired date his senior year at Crystal Lake High School, class of 77.
AJ Friend Sr., the father.
Right. He was the junior class homecoming prince, and he graduated with honors U of I and John Marshall, and he was really an up-and-coming you know, star in the local community.
What was her backstory?
She had a good upbringing as well. She never knew her biological father. He had a lot of problems, and her mother divorced him when she was just 19 months old. But she had a regular suburban upbringing in northwest suburb, Schaumburg. Then the family moved to McHenry County. She got pregnant at 16 and dropped out. But she got her GED. She got a cosmetology license. She got married.
So there were no red flags that these are people who shouldn't get together, shouldn't stay together, shouldn't have a child. I mean, you know, some of those circumstances aren't perfect, but Lord, plenty of people have gotten through that. They had a good shot at it, but they fell into some sort of addictive habits, right?
They did. When they met, he was actually 24 years her senior, and he was her divorce attorney. And by the time they met, they both already had addictions to opioids, painkillers. She complained. By that point, she was taking 12 to 15 painkillers a day just to get through the day. She complained of fibromyalgia symptoms. And he had some broken bones and car accidents and had been addicted to opioids as well. But together, they really spiraled into this to hardcore heroin, cocaine, domestic violence, things like that.
The sort of thing where a police officer or DCF worker will look inside and find animal feces on the floor, garbage strewn about, children not properly dressed. I mean, just obvious signs of abuse and decay of the family. What was DCF's interaction or role with the family in these early years?
It's another really interesting part of the story is everything seemed to go to operate properly in the beginning of AJ's life. There was a McHenry County child abuse and neglect juvenile case in which a judge overseeing it kept it open for more than 2 years, and the parents were required to do, you know, random drug drops, and DCFS had a caseworker going into the house twice a month, and there was aftercare, and there's AA meetings, and there was job requirements, and these parents really got their acts together for years, and then it all seemed to fall apart in about 2018.
In the online and, I guess, print versions of this story, we see pictures of the mother and the father at different stages in their lives and relationship with their child. And some of them, they look like the dregs, right? They look like heroin addicts.
Right.
And others, they look like a promising young lady and a handsome young man. And it's you know, there's so many layers to this tragedy, as you say. Obviously, foremost is the little boy, but it's also the tragedy of addiction, isn't it? Because you see sort of them devolve in the photographs, and I don't know how much sympathy I have for them, but you see how abused they were by their drug addictions, don't you?
You do, and it's important to note, though, that statistically, drug addicts don't kill their children. You see neglectful situations like not getting them to school or not proper supervision, but this is an extreme outcome, and in the end, we don't have evidence that either of them were on heroin when he was killed, because she was pregnant and had blood tests. She was clean except for some prescription drugs.
Okay, so they have these interactions with neighbors who were trying to be helpful to no avail. The police on occasion, a contractor pointed out bad things. DCF has been in and out, but eventually they regain custody of AJ Friend. But they were also, at the end of his life, bad parents. There's the episode maybe that led to his death, where to punish him for soiling his pants, they give him a cold shower, right?
Correct. And from everything that I was able to find, I find that she was the one that had the most violent temper. And, you know, we were left to go, we weren't there. We're left to go on with what he said to the authorities afterwards. But he paints this picture of that she, you know, would do these harsh physical
AJ Friend disciplines. Senior, the father
yes,
would.
Yeah, the father. And he really, you know, blames Joanne, his girlfriend, the mother of AJ. And he said, you know, he suggested to her that we start doing cold showers to discipline him instead of physical beatings.
Right. So that part of the story late in your writing, and in our studio right now, Christy Gutowski is the reporter at the Tribune whose Sunday piece, it was Sunday, right, is about the story of AJ Friend, the little boy who was killed. The parents are in custody right now,
right,
correct?
Both charged with murder.
But that was really bizarre, too. Late in the story, the cold showers, a 20-minute freezing cold shower was his definition of a less severe punishment of the boy.
Yes, and I, you know, going back to the drug use, I'm not suggesting that I'm excusing what they did, but I just believe there's more here. And, you know, maybe we'll learn about their
what do you
psychological
mean more here?
I'm interested in learning more about this mother's mental health. I mean, her youngest child described her as a monster. So I can't wait to learn more about what we see in court. But there is a video that has been disclosed from a month before he died. She had taken a cell phone video 2 minutes and then deleted it of her berating AJ. And he's got an ice pack on his eyes. And when he removes it, you just see the horrible condition he was in.
That video's been captured, though?
The authorities have it. The FBI was able to get it through subpoena of Apple from her phone.
Hmm. So something was going on late in this little boy's life. And in that span of time, she got pregnant again. Is that correct?
Correct.
That's troubling too, isn't it? You can't control that. But my God, they shouldn't be having another kid.
They had two kids, actually, by the time that after AJ, but she had her last one, the little girl, May 31st. She was in custody for the murder of AJ.
So what's the status? I know we're covering vast spans of time here and not doing it justice that your many-page story does. Listen, if you do not already, today would be a good day to subscribe to a newspaper, because this sort of storytelling doesn't happen in sound bites on the radio or TV, and ain't nobody else doing this but trained professionals like they have at the Tribune, like we have here at GN Radio, but not always the luxury of time. Christy Gutowski's in our studio, so we'll just finish the telling of the story today this way. They're eventually caught, the parents, first denying it. What's their status? What's the timeline for their court case and so forth?
Sure. So they're both being held on $5 million bonds in the McHenry County Jail. Both have pleaded not guilty, and they appear in court on monthly status dates where there's, you know, exchange of discovery. There's been no, like, prominent court hearing yet in which, you know, a plea has been made or there's
been
testimony.
They have not pled guilty or not guilty? That hasn't happened?
No, just the arraignment where you plead not guilty, which is perfunctory. But, yeah, it hasn't, you know, he just died on 6 months ago. So I imagine the process will take a while.
773 texted in and said, "Your writing in this story was so compelling, I could not stop reading. Please keep up the good work, as painful as it is." Oh. I couldn't have said it better, 773. That's exactly what this is. I don't want to encourage you to read this story because it's great writing. It is. And I know it's a painful topic to pursue, but it's not gratuitous. You don't elaborate on any of the awfulness of it. You let the actions tell the story, and the deeds are amazing. So thank you for doing what you did on this, Christy.
Oh, thank you. And I hope it brings systemic change for the next AJ.
The next conversation. Let's visit again next week and follow up after you report again in the Tribune, all right?
Thanks, John.
Read it online. Christy Gutowski, the reporter at the Tribune on the AJ Friend story. If you're Googling it, friend, of course, too many of us now know, is spelled F-R-E-U-N-D.